So you're back in the operating room, or you're on the you must be on your busy rotation, right? That's right.
Yeah, trauma. Yeah, it's
I
busy.
knew that. I just can't say it without messing it up. So you're on trauma, which is to go 3-3 during trauma last week, that's pretty damn good, if you ask me.
Yeah, it was I mean, it was, I think, one of those crazy, like, public wins everything kind of weekend. I think it was like the five or six heaviest public sides all won. So that's if that happens, I'm gonna lose. So, but they, Vegas isn't out on the side of the road panhandling, for some money. They're doing well. So yeah, you have weekends like this, that public gets it on, gets it over on Vegas a little bit, but I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, I thought going into picks my confidence pool picking them last week. I finished third. Big shout out to you, bro. I have not finished worse than ninth since you and I have started doing our podcast weekly,
Out of
because
how many?
out of 20.
Nice.
And for the year, if you can, if we, when I when not if I'm 5 points from being in sixth, and if you land in the top five, you pay out, right? It's like a hundred and it's over $100 to be in it. So everyone gets paid quite a bit at the top five spots. But last year I did it on a whim. And remember, I've told you I got into football because I like football. You love football, but you've got into betting. So you like learning from you and how to value some of these games, it cracks me up. What I used to think were tougher weeks get a lot easier because I look at
Yeah.
games differently, right? So I'm doing well on that end, so I got to give a big shout out to you for that. I'll keep you updated on how I'm doing. But yeah, we're 5 points from making it. I can make that up this week. Okay, where I want to start though, because I think I'm just genuinely curious about your reaction to this. Give me 1 minute reaction to Sean Payton taking the opportunity in a press conference to say that he talked to John Mara, the Giants owner, because he used to coach there, and say he was actually hoping that the Giants wouldn't switch quarterbacks until after the Broncos played them. A lot of people thought he was insinuating we would have rather faced Russ than
Yeah.
Jackson Dart, which who could blame him, right? Because even the Giants coach on national television was yelling at the doctors to get Jackson
Yeah, get him out there.
Dart. But then obviously Russ clapped back pretty hardcore on Twitter, which I know you saw, where he basically said Bounty Gate through the media about how Sean Payton had the whole bounty gate. So he kind of
Yeah.
called him out 15 years later. You're still doing it, but through the media. I'm curious, what was your reaction to all that? Genuinely.
I mean, I understood it. Like, I have like a love hate relationship with Sean Payton. Like, I like he can be honest sometimes, but I think he just kind of says things that stirs a reaction. Like he said, what's his face was like Mahomes, reminded him of Mahomes. It's like, no, he doesn't. Or like Drew Brees, it's like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson was like way past his prime. He's terrible. So I like. It's kind of funny in the media, they cry because nobody gives them anything, but then when they give them something, it's like it makes huge news, and it's like, well, then why would I give you anything? Why would I give you my honest feedback if it's just gonna be a huge story, but I don't think he really cares either, because who cares about Russell Wilson at this point? He's a backup that nobody wanted to trade for at the deadline.
And that lines up with he's never really broken character. Florio always says he's like an AI QB, where he like gives you the AI response to everything, right? That was the first time he ever, really broke character. And I thought, wow, I'm just curious what Drew thinks, because I thought it was petty of Sean Payton too, though, like to even say that. He came back today and he's like, oh, I didn't mean that towards Russ at all. It's like, yeah, you did. You did. We all know you
It's like
did.
there's only one other person. There's only one person it could be about. It's not
Yeah.
Jameis never started, so.
Exactly. Anyways, so we start off with a little Russell Wilson drama, the gift that keeps on giving, those two connected
Yeah,
in
no
Denver.
kidding. It's just a retire, go home.
So overall for the season, let's update everyone. First segment here. We always love to look big picture. Let's start macro, like always. Every episode we like to tell everyone where we're at. So overall record for the season, 13-9, looking good. 3-3 last week. Like I said, up, back on the up and up compared to our down week, I think before. You went 3-0 in college, 11-4 overall in college for the
Yeah,
season. How we feeling? How we
smoking in
feeling after
college.
that
Yeah.
week?
That was good. I mean, I think, yeah, I was like slammed on Sunday. I was working on Sunday, and I just like checked my app, and it was just like a whole, just crazy. You know, it's like you sometimes when you bet on bad teams are bad, so it's kind of a bummer. But then you just see other outcomes of the games that were kind of perplexing a little bit. But you know, that's the NFL, and you win some, you lose some. But college has been actually pretty good. Choosing the spreads. I don't bet nearly as much in college. Just kind of watch, you know, there's so many games to watch, and so it's like trying to watch every single game, and it's a little bit more difficult. Plus it's like watching football all day Saturday and all day Sunday. That's kind of tough. So
College is sporadic too, because you'll get those Friday night games, and then you get the really like 11 a.m. is early Central. You get a game
Yeah,
at
and it's like you're
11.
gonna give up 2 full days of football. It's like, you know, you have responsibilities sometimes
NFL's
to
organized in a sense. I just feel like it's so organized and like,
exactly.
it's easier. So we'll
But no,
move on.
I feel good. I mean, I guess gotta weather the storm. You know, before we started doing this, I think my first 2 weeks I was like as hot as I've ever been, and now it's, you know, we're kind of flattening out 3-3. Hopefully this week goes back up. Wasn't as much. I it was funny because I told you last week I like loved the board. I was like, man, I love the board. And it's like when that happens, like, uh-oh, red alert. So this week was like not as much of a love. I still have a few games that I really like. So it was good. Oh, and I remember I said I was going to do a 2-unit play on the Broncos. Didn't end up doing that because I forgot. Glad I didn't do that because that was an L. But yeah, we still made out pretty good.
This is for the listener. So Andrew texted me. He was working. He's on trauma this rotation, so he's busy as hell. He didn't get to watch as much football this weekend. And I'll be honest, man, I just got back from Cali, so I was really tired. So it was hard for me. Like, the reason I wasn't texting you, it felt like a lot of energy to keep you up to date with what's going on in that Broncos game, because it was a lot. Andrew texted me and he's like, "Well, the Broncos lost it for me because they're down 19-0 late in the first half." So here I am, like, okay, it's 19-8. I can't keep you up to date, right? Drew, they end up winning. I just realized as my head hits the pillow, I never told you what happened. And then as I'm falling asleep, I get a text from Andrew, guys, and he's like, "Wait, Denver won?"
I was so confused because on my app it's red, right? It shows red, so I didn't see the score. I just knew they were down by a million, and I was like, oh, you know, they lost, whatever. And then I look, I'm like, wait a minute, because I think it was like a headline on ESPN or something. I was like so confused, but it's like the worst, right? Because you bet on Denver and they won, but they didn't cover. It's like, oh.
I know, I know. And we're gonna dive into that game in depth, right? So I just wanted to let everyone know that, yeah, you didn't get to watch as much this weekend, but that whole moment was pretty funny. So we'll move our second segment, as always, pick one. I know you didn't get to watch a lot of games, so I'm gonna start with you. The one game I know you got to watch, Bucks at Lions. I didn't get to watch as much. I had my interview podcast episode with Kurt Tobin, which is out streaming now, but you watch. I got the second half of this game. Give me your reaction to this game. Reflect on it.
It was a really weird game, actually, because it was a game where I feel like this is like what the Vikings do, where they dominate, like absolutely dominate the whole half. Like they had what they were on pace for like 700 yards, I think, in the first half. Like not in the first half, but like 350 or close to it in the first half. But they were up 2 scores. I think it was like 14-3 or something like that, right? And but it was like the Bucs couldn't do anything on offense. But then Detroit couldn't put them away. They'd move the ball, turnover, move the ball, go for it on fourth, not get it, right? And it was just like these things. And then they're like, oh, at the end of the first half, they're driving. Goff throws a really bad pick. It's like, what? Like this is, it was like one of those games where it's like, this is a game the Lions lose because you let the team, you played so well, and you let the team hang around, hang around, hang around, and you know, they're gonna figure it out in the second half. And then ultimately it didn't, but it was a weird game. I mean, you notice that Gibbs is playing a whole lot more than Montgomery now, and which is cool to see. He's like so freaking good. There's just like he reminds like him and Bijan are just like special, in terms of like the way they move. It just looks different, right? It's like he did a spin move at the goal line for a touchdown. It's just like you're not supposed to move like that, you know? And, there's not, I think those are probably the two players I think of. Like Jonathan Taylor's a really good player. Saquon, obviously, but he's been down this year. But they're Gibbs and he's just a special back. So it was cool to see. And then, I was looking at it because the Bucks were like, I remember we were talking about like, Super Bowl favorites, or not maybe favorites, but like at least contenders. And I know they've been hurt. But I was just deep, kind of going deep dive into Bucks Lions. Well, I don't know if you have any other thoughts about the game before I go into. No? Okay. So I was kind of deep diving into, because it's almost like we talk about week one, how crazy it was, right? And they got smacked by the Packers. And I feel like they got smacked by the Packers. They got a new defensive coordinator. They got a new offensive coordinator. It's like, oh, the Lions is good. Our Lions. And that, like, that narrative, for lack of a better term, is just like continued, right? And they scored like 40 and or 50 and 40, whatever. They've been playing really well. But I want to do a deep dive on how they're playing, and they're second in DVOA. So according to the DVOA, they're second best team in the league, fifth in offense, first in defense. So that was pretty crazy. They're top 10 in most offensive categories. And then I took out week one because that was like the anomaly, and they're like 5-6 in every category, except rush, which is weird. They're like mid in success rate at rushing, which I equate to more of like they just have explosive runs. Like success rate we talked about before is, yes or no stat, right? Is it a successful run? Is it not? So like a 4-yard run on first and 10 is the same as a 60-yard run, right? It's still a yes. Whereas like EPA is, down to down,
And to
like
add
it's.
context to that, just because we watch football and you and I know that someone like Greg Olson on the call is going to point this out. The
Yeah.
Lions are the type of team, there's a few in the league that they're going to get a lot of 8-man boxes and they're going to
Yeah.
still run the ball. You're not going
Yeah.
to see them kill to a pass play. They're like, oh, you have 8 in the box? Well, we have dudes. We'll block it up. And then
Yeah.
the explosive run will happen at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, and they'll get negative runs, or maybe not negative runs, but just not successful
Exactly.
as it's determined. But the Bucks were more surprising to me when I kind of dove deep into the numbers. We were talking about, when you think about the Bucks and their big wins, their close losses, like Baker's playing incredible. Maybe he's, MVP consideration. And you look at the advanced stats, and they're 16th in DVOA, so middle of the pack, 13th in offense, 14th in defense. Their defense is not, outside of rushing defense, or I guess there's only two things, there's either rushing or passing, but rushing defense, they're, top five. Obviously, they have what's his nuts?
The big
The big
defensive
smoke.
tackle.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's awesome. But they're bad against the pass, and
Vita
they're off.
Vea. It's Vita Vea. That's who we're talking about.
But their offense, which I thought would be a lot better, at least statistically, is not. And they rely a lot on explosives, and so they're top 10 in offensive EPA and throwing EPA, but they're 20th or worse, so they're like bottom third in, rushing. Throwing success rate, rushing success rate. So it's like down to down, they're not as good. But they really rely on these explosives. And I was looking at Baker's stats, and Baker's in the bottom half of the league in most of the passing stats, including, completion percentage over expected. And so Running Backs Don't Matter is a website that I use, and they have a stat where they combine completion percentage over expected, which is a stat. I don't think I've talked about this one before, but it's like a, it's kind of like six, it's kind of like success rate in a way, where it takes, where it looks at a completion percentage, not as a single number, like, the regular completion percentage does, like, do you complete it? Do you not? It takes into account all these other different variables, air yards, receiver, how open the receiver is, time to throw, the route they're running, all that kind of stuff. And it puts it in a logistic regression model, which basically is a fancy stats formula for a yes or no equation. And so that's why it's good for complete incomplete, right? So the percentage that this is going to be complete versus incomplete based on all those different variables. That's like those advanced stats with like Amazon. You'll see like the commercials where it's like 16% catch rate, or like, you know, all those. I don't know if you know the commercials that I'm referring to, but completion percentage over expected is the same kind of concept. And so they take that and they take EPA per play, and they combine that together, and Baker was bottom half of the league, which I thought was really surprising because I thought he was playing really well. But the thing is, he's sixth in air yards, right? So he's bottom half in success rate and EPA per play and all those things, but he's sixth in air yards. So it gets back to Tampa's very, they have a very explosive offense. They're just, you know, hit or miss. And you could talk about, obviously they have injuries, you know, Godwin's still out, and what's his name? Evans just went again with a cool thing, and which can play a part into it. But I just thought it was interesting. I was kind of surprised at how not good the Tampa Bay offense was. And random note, these offenses are kind of like opposite, where I guess Detroit's still explosive, but their Goff was 30th in air yards, right? So it's like short, methodical, but they also have guys that can get explosives. And so it was interesting.
Yeah, I feel like with Baker in their offense, Bucky Irving being out these last few weeks has been showing up in these games too, though, because he's not only explosive, but when you don't have Godwin, you don't have Evans, that's a forget about like forget about, you know, receivers and weapon. He's just a weapon out of the backfield, so he's a mismatch. So you can be more efficient when you have a running back, right, that you know can win one-on-ones in the flat and what, and you just dump it off to him. So it sounds like they're just not as efficient as you probably thought, right? The Bucks offense. It's just not that it's bad. I don't want to, because I think when we say good, bad, that's like black, white. It's that it's they rely heavily on the explosive, which I didn't watch the whole game. You did, Bucks Lions, but they mentioned the next day that the Lions limited the Bucks to big plays, but it felt like the Lions played a lot of man-to-man with their backup corners. So wouldn't you think that there'd be chances to go deep?
Yeah, there definitely was chance, and Baker was bad. Like, it wasn't a typical Baker performance, at least from what I remember. You know, you've seen him. He just missed a lot of open receivers. He missed high a lot, which was strange. You know, he was just like consistently high, and so he had open receivers for first downs, big plays, and he just missed them. And it was a game that could be had for sure. You know, and playing Detroit it was rocking, but. Yeah, it was a game that could be had. Baker didn't play well, but I mean, you could look at it in the same way. Like, they're not playing well, but they're also super hurt, and so they'll get all their guys back eventually, most of them at least, and then they can, you know, really make a push. So the fact that they're at this level now, at this record now, not playing like an average team,
Yeah.
I think it bodes well for them in the future.
Yeah, the thing they have going for them, I think, is that if they get healthy, they match up well with the Eagles, 'cause they're going to have to play. They're going to have to play the Eagles, Rams, or Lions at some point. That's just going to happen if you're going to make it to the Super Bowl, right? You're going to have to. It's a good thing they match up well with clearly they played okay against the Lions, but banged up and all. Did you have anything else from this game that you want to talk about?
No, I think I touched most of it.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to the game I chose, my pick. My pick was Giants at Broncos. Again, I watched most of this game. You clearly didn't, but my question for you, what is more reliable moving forward in your mind? Are you not only as a bettor but as a watcher, but we're gonna talk in terms of betting. Like when you're gonna go bet on these games and you're gonna what are you more likely to rely on? That the Giants are gonna be ultra competitive, because if we step back and we look at the Giants, they beat the Eagles and they were like an 8-point underdog, I think 8.5 going in. And then what they did to the Broncos when they were an underdog in that game. But they've been very competitive with Jackson Dart. So are you gonna rely more on that moving forward as you're betting, that they're gonna be a competitive team that maybe you're gonna take them to cover? Or are you gonna keep relying? Do you feel very confident that the Broncos are one of these teams where, hey, down 10 late in the game, down 14 late in the game, they're this high-powered offense with 5 minutes left, and they're going to be able to make comebacks. What do you feel more reliable? What do you think is more reliable moving forward in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sample size, right? So it's like, what are you when the game like is still in the balance versus, at the end of the games when defense is playing prevent or they're playing, all softer looks and you can get yards and you can get it in a rhythm. I think that's an easy call, right? So I think I'd be concerned if I was the Broncos offense just at their lack of ability to have any sort of offense.
Yeah.
And especially it's like against the teams that they were up against. I mean, I guess the Giants are pretty good defense, but Jets, Eagles, I mean, Eagles are middle of the road defense. They're just, based on reputation at this point. And then Bengals, I guess they scored 21, but
I've got a few things to follow up with that. So let's look at the Broncos because I want to focus on them. I'm with you. I'd go Giants, but those are the narratives walking away from the game. It's that the Giants are like, holy crap, are they going to be competitive the rest of the way? And then the Broncos, it's like they keep coming back, but like, is that going to work? Because they're not playing well quarters one through three. So last four games, this is how many points they've scored from the like furthest away game, the Bengals, all the way to the most recent. How many points they've scored in the first three quarters? Against the Bengals, 21. Wow. The Eagles, 3. The Jets, 10. That was all they scored that game. No, they got one more field goal in the fourth quarter, right? They won 13-12 or something like that. The Giants, 0. So it's just getting worse. It feels like it's getting worse. But then if we look at, then we look at like the rest of the year with the Broncos. What they have coming up, I'm curious, as again, as a better. That's how they were in their last four. This is how their offense is playing. Are they, when you think of contenders and tiers, where do you put them? Because here's their next five games. They have the Cowboys coming to Denver, Texans at in Houston, which is a key narrative there, or key point. They have the Raiders, not very good. Chiefs, tough. At the
That's tough.
Commanders. At the Commanders, you got to think on the road, Jaden Daniels is going to be, healthy for that game based off what we've seen. So, not an easy stretch, I don't think. But when you're looking at that stretch and you're thinking about them, are they going to be a team that you for sure right now would say, yep, Adam, they're making the playoffs? How confident are you in the Broncos?
I would say no, just because especially the way they play, like they're all, I mean, I guess most NFL games are close, but they don't have a style where they're like blowing people out usually, unless it's like a really bad team. But I just feel like their offense isn't good enough, and you're putting a lot of pressure on the defense. And as we've seen, like even the Browns can be had, like the Browns defense, like elite defenses can be had. And so, that's, when you're playing pretty good offenses, in the Cowboys are good offense, Texans obviously are absolute garbage, also the Raiders, but division games are weird. Chiefs obviously good, and then Commanders, Jaden Daniels can make things happen, and it's like,
Yeah.
who are you taking, Jaden Daniels or are you taking Bo Nix? And it's like,
Especially on the road in at the Commanders. Here's some quick easy flat numbers. I'm curious what you have for DVOA before we jump into your picks on the next segment to wrap up with this Giants and Broncos. Let's talk about Bo Nix now. We've talked about the team and how many points they're scoring per quarters. Basically, what we're really looking at is quarters one through three versus the fourth quarter with the Broncos. So Bo Nix specifically in the first quarter through the first 8 weeks of the season, 7 weeks of the season, he's completing 59% of his passes in the first quarter. Second quarter, 61. And then in the fourth quarter, 68%. Right? Sorry, third quarter, 61. So first, second, and third are like right around 60. 68% in the fourth within 7 points, too. It's high. So I don't know. It's just as I'm watching the Broncos, I'm starting to gain the trend that I don't think they're very good, and it's almost like they open things up when they're down at the end of the game. So
right.
when you and I watch them, I always text you and call them bubble screen Bo because it just feels like Drew, everything is within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage with him. And anytime, I heard someone say this on a podcast this week. Anytime that Bo Nix launches a ball down the field, I would bet a lot of money that it's an overthrow. It's like it's gonna be an overthrow. It's almost comical. I'd love to see what the advanced numbers are for the Broncos if you have them, but I would love to know what his completion percentage is, like over 15 yards. I just would love to see it because he misses a lot of throws over 15 yards.
I mean, that's how what he was coming out of college too. You know, he was with Oregon. Everything was a line of scrimmage, and I think I don't know what his average depth of target.
He's hard. There are a few quarterbacks I don't enjoy watching in the NFL. Jalen Hurts and Bo Nix are like in the top five. Just not how I want to watch. I mean, get it. You do what you have to do with you should try to win with your personnel. But even Mac Jones, like I know he's got a noodle arm. I always tell you that. I enjoy watching Kyle Shanahan's offense though. Like it's even the run game is creative. They do creative things. When you watch the Broncos, it's just like run game RPO. Drag routes, mesh. It's like mesh, right? It's just hard to enjoy. It's like a college offense, like you said.
And I think at least with the 49ers and Mac Jones, like he plays on time, and that's why Kyle really, well, I don't know him personally, but obviously, but that's what I talk about that he liked Mac Jones is because Kyle, you know, he's in that Shanahan scheme. He wants, you know, like Kirk Cousins, who's going to point and shoot, like, hey, I need this ball to go here. It's going to be there on time. You know, it's there. He's not a guy that's going to play out of structure where Bo can, you know, get out of structure, run,
Good
make play.
athlete.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's just this, the internet's like super slow. So I have to, might be like a next time podcasting, but yeah, it's he, I mean, he just hasn't, the whole his whole rookie year was like smoke and mirrors. You know, he was the same guy he was in college, and that can work, but when you need, like, in the playoffs, when you need the guy to go make a play, or you need to like sustain consistent offense, or you know, it's so hard even against average defenses. It's hard to sustain a 10 play, 11 play drive where you have to, you know, go 80 yards. It's way easier when you can throw the ball to Justin Jefferson 2 yards away and, you know, he runs for 60, or, you know, deep ball to, you know, Godwin or whatever, you know, or Ibuka this year. So I don't know. I just think you're asking your defense to bring it every game. And, you know, your offense just has to make a big play here. And they're just, I don't know, there's not.
The margin is very slim on defense, right? And then you know how it is when you have a bad offense. The defense is on. It feels like they're always on the field, and then they get worn down. Like it's not about how good they are. At some point, field position, they're tired. The other team makes a play. Your team doesn't. So, I was just curious all week how you view them because of how the Chargers are also playing. Like that's another piece of this is, do the Broncos make the playoffs by default of the fact that the Chargers fall apart? Which again, I don't know if it is. We're gonna get to your picks next. I want to use this as a segue into the Vikings Chargers game because I think it's a crazy interesting game. Like of all, when I pulled up this week's games, I was thinking about Giants and Broncos, but I was also thinking, well, I'd love to say that Broncos won't make the playoffs because I don't enjoy watching them, and I sound like a hater, but also the Chargers, who we both really love, Herbert. I don't know, that team doesn't look good. So let's move into the third segment. Andrew, why don't you run through all of your bets? We'll come back and we'll pick them apart piece by piece.
So the best I'm gonna make, oh, let me get to the rundown here. So I don't like taking the Vikings, but I'm gonna take them 3.5 at the Chargers. I think Chargers have no home field advantage, so I think this whole on the road thing means pretty much nothing. It is a weird game because, like, I think both. I wouldn't say I wasn't able to watch all the Vikings game, but they, from what I remember, they like outgained them. They had more first downs. They had, you know, they were like 1-5 in the red zone, and they were moving the ball well. They were playing well, and the defense was playing pretty well. I guess Jalen Hurts had the game of his life, but that's typical Vikings defense there. But you know, if you don't if you don't, I mean, so much of the NFL is what do you do on third down? What do you do in the red zone? And so you don't convert, you lose.
That Eagles Vikings game was the Eagles made a few plays on third down. That's really the difference in the game.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
Carson Wentz, honestly, Carson Wentz didn't play well. That was a big part of it too in the red zone. I think that hurt the Vikings, but I thought the Vikings played a damn good game. I watched the whole
Yeah,
game.
and so it's like that versus the Chargers, who just have fallen off a cliff. Like when they beat the Chiefs, was that week two? It was just like, oh, you know, Chargers are for real, and I'm a big Charger guy, and so I was excited.
It was Friday night, week one. It was the day after the first game. It was in Brazil.
Yeah, and it was just like, man, these guys are going to be, and you lose both your tackles. That's you know that's tough, but I don't know. They just have not been playing well on offense, and that was weird. So it's almost like, I don't know. It was a tough game for me to pick, but I feel like taking the Vikings with the points, 3.5. That's a pretty good number, to take on a Thursday night. Sorry, we're just supposed to be running through these. I always
You're
forget.
good. Run through them. We'll come back.
Ollie's stinky bet of the week: the Jets +6.5 at the Bengals. Panthers 7.5 +7.5 at home against the Bills. Texans -1.5 at home versus the Niners. Broncos, our Broncos, -3.5 at home against the Cowboys. Other games I liked but couldn't really pull the trigger. Ravens -6.5. I think I would take the Ravens if Lamar plays, but that might be kind of a square bet, so I'm kind of iffy on that. Steelers +3 at home against the Packers, Rodgers revenge game. I just think the Packers are not playing well. Like they that again, didn't get to watch it, but I know they just following it peripherally, they like struggled to beat the Cardinals.
Lucky to win that
Yeah.
game. Lucky to win that game. Not lucky, but they pulled it out with a fumble late that if that doesn't happen, Cardinals might have taken complete control. So that game was on the ropes.
And then Dolphins +7.5 plus at the Falcons. And I don't love that game either, just because Falcons and Panthers feel like they're like so different home and away splits. And the Falcons just came off a loss on Monday night. Dolphins are just, you know, terrible always, but
Dolphins are like a gust of wind away from the whole thing falling apart, although it's already basically falling apart.
I feel like it's already falling apart.
It's like you start to pick up on that and you can smell it. Like, whereas I'll be honest, I don't get that smell from the Jets. The Jets aren't playing well, but they're playing hard though. Like, there's not a, I don't watch them at, like the, we knew last week when we talked Dolphins, Browns, that the best unit on the field, you called it out. It was going to be the Browns defense. And the Dolphins weren't going to want to, they just didn't have any business. They didn't want to be there. They don't want to be in that type of
They
game.
want to be in Cleveland. They didn't
Yeah.
want to be
Terrible. It's just a terrible matchup. Okay, let's run back. Let's go back to the Vikings Chargers. I want to stick here for a second, and we'll go through all the bets that you just outlined so well. Who's playing quarterback for the Vikings this week?
it's still
Who?
Carson Wentz.
Wentz? Okay. Okay. This is the only question I'm going to ask. I want your reaction. I know you said you're taking the Vikings. I'm good with it. Did they soft bench JJ McCarthy? Is that what's going on?
I think this is like such a weird. I think they did, to be honest. Just because that, and you never know with injuries, like what really is what happened. But I don't remember. Maybe I'm just missed it on Twitter or on watching the game. But I don't remember him being hurt. And then they were talking about this injury and like is he going to come back in a couple weeks. And then it was like after the bye week and like well the bye week happened and then it's like after, you know. Don't come back for the Eagles, and then like when are we putting this guy out here? Like he's either got it or he doesn't. So like we're not playing against the Eagles, who's like an average defense. Like that's kind of weird.
We're not playing the NFC Player of the Week from week two. I mean, what's going on? Offensive Player of
The
the
bye
Week.
week, yeah. And it's like Carson Wentz is playing fine, but he's not, you know, he's not lighting the world on fire. And so I think it's gonna be bad and it might get real dark in Vikings land. You know, you let Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones go, which is like weird to say, but you let them both out of the.
But before it gets too dark, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm going to use this as an opportunity. I got one more question about the game, but we'll go back to it. Is the light at the end of the tunnel before the trade deadline? Do they make the call? And you already know where I'm going with this. Do they make the call?
Who?
To your boy, to our boy, to Captain
Oh my.
Kirk. Do we bring him home and say, Captain?
So happy.
You know what would be
Probably.
great? If they're going to decide, in my opinion, that, hey, JJ needs more time, you just make the call to Kirk because he
Yeah.
knows the offense. And you say, hey, man, just come win some. I mean, we have a good team. We have a roster that can compete with anyone. Just come play. He's not playing. Why wouldn't you make the call? I'd make that call. I think they should make the call. If they
And
lose
the year.
tomorrow night, they should make the call.
Year after the year, the year after the year after the injury, right? So it's like we're always talking about coming back from injuries so fast, like, oh, I can get back rehab so quickly. It's like look at Rodgers, right? So he came back year after his Achilles. Like he wasn't great, but now he's playing with the Steelers. He's playing way a lot better. Maybe you could say, okay, it's the Steelers versus the Jets.
He
Yeah,
also
but
looks better, though. He
yeah.
genuinely looks. Andrew, he threw a ball 70 yards in the air, dude. That was impressive. And he made some throws. He made a throw on the run against the Browns the week before all this, like against the Bengals. I was very. I'm not saying he was like running fast, but it's faster. He's faster than he was last year. So, okay. Last thing here, real quick. What's the matchup you're looking for in this Vikings Chargers game? Inside the game, what are you like? What matchup do you think is most critical for both teams to win?
I think offense, I think it's going to be on the offensive lines. And so, like, the Vikings have a good defense. They have good defensive line, right? They're edge presser. I don't know if is Van Ginkle back. I didn't watch yesterday, but I don't know if he's back. But anyways, with Grenard. So I think if they can't protect Herbert when he's just been under siege, and like they have good weapons that could expose the Vikings pass defense. The Vikings have been really good against the pass. Vikings have been really good against the pass. Chargers can't run the ball. Vikings struggle to stop the run. So it'll be kind of an interesting matchup. So I think if the Chargers can't throw, they're not going to win. And then on the Viking side, it's Carson Wentz. Do you make how many dodo plays do you make? You know,
Yeah, can you limit those plays? Let's
I think
move.
if you can just be consistent, like you don't need to be awesome. You just need to be consistent. Like the offense is gonna work. You're gonna work the ball down the field. You got weapons. Like just you don't be crazy. You just
Yeah.
can't.
KOC, like Shanahan, they to get nitty gritty. I think what KOC does better than any offensive coordinator in the NFL, especially in the passing game, they figure out what your defensive rules are and principles, and then he has his scheme just put guys like in the worst position, right? In the make you choose. And I've seen it as a Bears fan. I always say, I text you all the time, nobody dials up more open guys 15 yards down the field than Kevin O'Connell. I'm not saying he makes quarterback easy because look at Darnold. Darnold's still playing great, like 2 years in a row. But he gives you clear read. So
Yeah.
let's see Carson Wentz. Okay, my perfect scenario: Vikings lose, they get Kirk Cousins, they win more games.
That'd be awesome.
Be awesome. But okay, let's move on. Stinky bet of the week. You just can't quit the Jets, huh? What's up with you and these Jets?
It's so hard. Tyrod Taylor, I think, starting, right?
They haven't mentioned it. I listened to Aaron Glenn's press conference before this. He has not. He They're both taking reps. But Tyrod Taylor is on the injury report with a knee that was like already before he played last week. So I'm sure they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor. They're in Cincy. I like them to cover this game too. I think the Bengals win though. I just think the Jets cover.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a classic come off a Thursday night, huge win against the Steelers. All right. Like, we're talking about Flacco's back. This is like a come back down to earth kind of game.
Jets defense starting to roll a little bit. It's starting to look good.
It's still too early. It's Wednesday night when we're recording, but 79% of the bets are on the Bengals. It's like heavy. Like, when you get into 80%, we're like, okay. I mean, it'll come back down maybe. I think it's probably waiting to go to that seven number, and when they get to seven, people,
Go to the Jets.
will hammer it. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It's It's a tough watch. Like, God, it feels
The
just so
only thing
bad.
that makes the Bengals exciting since they're playing the Jets is it's like you have to win this game because you need to get at least 7 wins before Burrow can come back. Like if Burrow comes back with 3 games left, which is I think the earliest he could come back based off of everything that's been reported. Last 3 games, I'm gonna keep saying it: Dolphins, Cardinals, and I think the Browns and the end of the year. So you
Yeah.
can win all three of those games. All teams might want to lose those games. Like, no joke. All three of those teams might be like, yeah, we kind of want a high draft pick. So any key matchup in that game that you're looking at, or is it just stinky bet of the week, plunge in and
Yeah, it's just stinky bet of the week. It's fading who won, you know, big win. One of the big wins of the weekend is, you know, beating the Steelers, who are really hot, and the Jets, you know, just can't play offensive football to save their life, and they're, you know, getting 6.5. I think the stinky Bengals getting 6.5 against anybody is pretty wild.
all right, love it. By the way, Jets got a lot of players that could be traded after another loss. So I think the narratives we should pay attention to in that game, if the Jets do lose, which we both probably think they will, but it'll be closer than people think. Breece Hall, pay attention to, right? Some of these players, like, they're probably not going to pay. So who's going to be sellers as we get closer to that trade deadline? That'll be interesting. Moving on. I like the Panthers to cover as well, so I'm happy you have this on there. Now, Josh Allen, here's a stat. Do you know this? Do you know Josh Allen's record after a bye week in his career?
I don't. Please tell me.
7-0 Josh Allen is after the bye week. Do you know his head coach's record after the bye week?
7-0.
8-0. I don't know how that happened, but I guess he had one more without Josh. Well, I like the Bills to win because I just can't believe the Bills are going to lose 3 in a row with. But we both know that the Panthers are a different team at home, and guess what they can do? They can run the football.
They
And
can run the football.
so tell me why you're liking this bet. Is it just because the money that's on the Bills? What are you seeing with this game?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's like I said, it's still early, right? So it's Wednesday. The percentage will change, but it's just, I think, like, sometimes we think teams are something that they're not, you know. And I think maybe the Bills just aren't as elite as we think. Maybe they are. We'll find out, but the Panthers are just like, just that feisty team, you know. They're just, when they're at home, like, they battle, they run the ball, they play defense, you know, and they're just going to be hanging around. And so I think it's hard for especially like casual bettors and to get the idea of, like, you see Josh Allen, Bills, high flying offense, and it's like, I don't know, they just haven't been that really lately, you know. And so they come off a bye, you forget that they kind of sucked. And it's 7.5 on the road, or, you know, 7.5 at home. That's a lot of points, you know. That's
A lot of points.
backdoor cover territory. That's, you know, keeping it
And
close.
I know you don't do this in betting. You're much better at just because how they played versus them doesn't, like, if I play you and beat you badly, and then I play a team that you beat, oh, I should beat them, right? Like that mindset. Well, the Bills got handled by the Falcons, and the Falcons got handled by the Panthers in
Right.
Carolina. So just that logic can be kind of scary. Like, well, they matched up with the team that just beats, I don't know. You know where I'm going with that. But
No.
I don't know if that matters here, okay? But Andy Dalton is playing. Does that factor in for you? Because I know Bryce got beat up last week.
I don't think so, because I don't think Bryce was playing that well. I just think if you can run the ball, Andy Dalton can make some plays. Like, he's not gonna be even, he probably won't be Carson Wentz, you know. But if you run the ball, he can play action pass, he can, you know, hit Tetaroa, you know, he can make some plays. I don't see why not, you know. And he's an NFL quarterback, you
Yeah.
know. So
This, by the way, this Panthers team is one of those teams. I know they're not going to make noise deep in the playoffs or anything like that. They might not. I told you they're my seventh seed to get in. That looked bad for a while, but they're frisky and they're mine again now. But I think that they actually have a solid, like, young, good roster in terms of, like, I would be excited if I was a Panthers fan for this year and then going into the draft next year because their defensive front's kind of solid. Like when you watch them play. They got a lot going on. They got Tet now, got a tight end, they got two running backs. I don't know, man. I'd be excited if I was a Panthers fan. I
But
would.
they might be too good to get a quarterback. Like they whiffed, you know what I mean? And it's
Yeah.
kind of like the Vikings, where they're never bad enough to get an elite quarterback. And it's like you had your chance and you blew it, you know? And so now you're going to be like, unless you hit on somebody late, like Lamar Jackson or something, like.
Yeah, what do they do at quarterback, and are they going to pick up his fifth year option? That's going to be interesting because he's in year three, right? Because Caleb's in two. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're gonna table that one. So we got Panthers. We wrap that up. Panthers, you're going to take them +7.5 at home against the Bills. Texans. Wow, I can't believe you're taking Andrew. I don't think anyone dislikes C.J. Stroud more than you do. I don't know if that's if
I know
anyone you treat him like how Woody Johnson treats Justin Fields when he's asked about the quarterback.
so bad. Over under 41.5. That's crazy. And in like a in a dome,
Yeah.
or it's a dome. But yeah, I mean, I think, San Francisco, big money went, been big money night win. Houston, big money night loss, look bad. They've been looking bad. They're 2-4. But I don't know. This is a game that I think like is could be a get right game. I don't think San Francisco's defense is that good. Houston, their offense is absolutely atrocious, but their defense is nasty. And so I feel like this could be like a Texans. I mean, that's like the only reason they were in that Seattle game is because their defense, you know? And so I think this might be like a defense takeover type of game. And 1.5, all you really got to do is win the game. So I like them. And 80% of the money's coming in on San Francisco. So that's.
I like where your logic is here. You're taking the home team, who we both know is better at home than on the road. They're not a good road team, but they're home. You got the whole situation, process. This team that's coming home off of a loss on Monday night, other one on a win, money on the team on the visitor. But also, you're taking the best unit. The best unit by far is the Texans defense, right? I mean, it's the best unit in this game. You there? Okay,
Yeah.
I
Now,
didn't know if you're. I see you just like.
who's no, I was just starting to look at who's start is when Purdy come, when is Purdy coming back?
Yeah, I
I
don't know
don't
if
know.
Purdy's coming back this
They have
week.
a lot of injuries. Yeah.
Yes,
Nico
sir.
Collins is out. No, I didn't know he got hurt.
Hey, by the way, watching the game Monday night, a few years ago, I used to give you a hard time about Kyle Shanahan. And then I was, last year I was like, maybe he'll come coach the Bears, right? I always like to bring that up. Kyle Shanahan, if he gets this team to any playoff spot, he really should. Like, seriously, if they get second place behind the Rams in that division, if that happened, which is going to be hard because Seattle's pretty dang good too,
Tough
that's
division.
coach of the year type of stuff, dude. Like, we already know they try to give the award to, like, they don't. Everyone knows Kyle Shanahan's a top five coach in the NFL, right? I don't care what your order is, he is. But doing it with this crew, it's kind of, it's actually, and then seeing him and Saleh, it's. The amount of fun they're like their MVP right now is their coaching staff. That's what's cool about the Niners.
Yeah, no doubt. They're just kind of putting it together and just, no names are making plays and getting after it. It's fun to watch.
All right, one more NFL bet, and then we'll have you run through the college bet. So Broncos 3.5 at home as after we just ripped them. So
Yeah.
they've got the Cowboys at home. A prolific offense. Cowboys have the best offense in the NFL. We hear this all the time, right? I'd love to know what they are DVOA wise, advanced stats. What's the big takeaway? Why'd you go Broncos?
It's, I just think, I mean, besides 82%, and I think it's a little tough with the Cowboys because they're kind of like, the Yankees or whatever. They're just a very public team. Dallas is fourth in DVOA offensively, but I just think the vibe's bad in Denver. Cowboys all-time high. I think I did not think that. I was shocked when I saw the score from that Commanders game. So I think they're like vibes all-time high. I didn't think. I remember preseason or like after they traded what's his nuts,
Micah Parsons.
Michael Parsons. There were people talking about like 4 wins, 3 wins, 5. Top 5 pick type stuff. And so they're playing really well offensively, but I think the Broncos defense could do some things. It's on the road at Mile
Yeah.
High, up in Denver, getting 3.5.
That's a game where the Broncos offense should be able to score more than 3 points in the first three quarters. It's a defense that can be had.
Their defense is so bad, so
So bad.
bad.
It's so bad. Okay, we've got 2 minutes left. Run through your college bets so we can sign off here.
30 50 play. So bad. So college been crushing it. I didn't really love a lot of the games. It was kind of tough. Some of the games I loved actually was like really public heavy, and I was like, maybe I'm a square. But Arizona State I really liked, or I should have said I was gonna fade Arizona State because they had the big win last week against Tech. But they're getting 7 at home against Houston, but 80% of the money, 81% of the money is on Houston. So I'm like, oh, do I take Arizona State? I don't know. Same with Iowa State. Like, why is Iowa State getting 2.5 at home versus BYU? But also 75% of the money is on Iowa State. Like, BYU is undefeated, ranked, I think, top 15 in the country. But that was weird. But anyways, so I went with my three bets. Memphis off a heartbreaking loss at home against 18th ranked UCF or USF. Auburn, I can't quit them. They're getting 1.5 at Arkansas. They find just heartbreaking ways to lose. And then I love, to bet against the Aggies. LSU plus 2.5 at home. It's night.
So you got LSU. It might have cut out. You got LSU at home. You like that?
Half at
2.5 at home. Love it. I'm learning way too much about how to bet properly on my confidence pool. By the way, you guys can follow Andrew on Twitter, Surgical Sharp, putting out good stuff. How much time left on the shift?
I won't be back. I'm here all night, so I'll be probably here until 8 in the morning.
Will you go and save some lives, sir? Hey, X best bets every week. We appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for having me.